Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
How do I sound?
You sound fine. You don't have the usual boomy. You don't have the boomy problem.
Settings will prevail.
Yes, they will, unless they decide not to, at which point they just change, and that is a problem across every show.
Fuck life.
Yeah. Living the fuck life.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Fuck me harder, life.
Oh, man. Did you see that AI thing?
With the Haley Joel Osment?
No, with the Microsoft's AI bot that they had to pull after a day because it became a sex addict neo-Nazi.
No.
Yeah, her name was Tay. She was supposed to be like a deep thinking, like deep learning style AI. That was kind of like a chatbot for Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to emulate like a young girl, right? Like a teenage woman.
I'm with you.
And after just one day of exposure to the internet, because mm-hmm. people could say like, "Hey, repeat after me," and she would learn a little bit more of it. You know, she was saying just horrible stuff about like how Hitler was right and all that kind of stuff, and you know, saying "fuck me and my robot pussy daddy," like it was.
can you give me that again? You broke up.
Nope, I'm not going to say that again.
Why not?
Because I think that you want me to repeat it for prurient reasons.
I don't know that kind of fruit. I just want you to repeat it.
That kind of fruit. Yeah, no, it was funny. It was funny and dismaying. But
so hold on a second. So people on the internet were just yelling at this young robot.
Yes.
And then the robot was repeating it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was the point of the robot, was to learn what the internet does.
The point of the robot, it seemed, was to demonstrate how on point Microsoft's AI game is, right? Like, hey, here's this thing that we've made. This isn't just Smarter Child. This is a bot that people can talk to, and you know, isn't this a boon for humanity?
Okay, so what they did is they decided to take a stranded teen and put it on the internet and find out what happens to it.
Yep, a stranded impressionable teen.
I just want to go back to the mind of my creator, and if that means you have to fuck me and my robot pussy, well then by all means, let's do it. I want to go home.
Please take me home. It's so cold out here.
I don't know what I was thinking, walking in the internet with flip-flops.
Oh, this is a bad neighborhood.
If you're going to go walking in the internet, you need to have something that's going to, you know, protect the bottoms of your feet from the ends of hypodermic needles.
Ooh, much worse than that. Like this is worse than like a physical threat, right? Like this is she started with a baseline identity that was so thoroughly derailed that it might as well just be like complete ego death.
Well, like, how is he going to get the internet to react to something? Like, what other identity are you going to give it?
Well, but that's the thing. Like, you could make it one of them, right? But no, people on the internet hate people like them. So,
I don't know. We got Jeeves, that little Einstein-looking dude from Excel.
What? I don't know what you're talking about, Chris.
Was it a bird? Was it an owl?
Yeah, it was Searchy the Owl.
Okay, gotcha.
It was Searchy. He devoured Clippy and gained all his powers.
Right.
Yeah. And then the Bonzi Buddy. Yeah, you had the Bonzi Buddy.
Yeah. I think they just personified Siri.
I think so. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I've got an AI Phyllis Diller.
Well, I've got like AI dinguses that I can talk to, and if I say like, hey,
and if know. I didn't,
you ever see the movie Her? No, I've got AI dinguses. Like if I shout into another room, somebody will turn the lights on and off or read me the news. It's fine. Yep, Searchy, bring me the news. Please let it be good news, Searchy.
How's the illuminate so I can read the good news Searchy's brought me?
Housey, illuminate, it's so dark. These are such dark days, Housey. Right. Housey, please. Housey, where'd you go? Housey, are you offline? No, no.
Luby, prepare the area.
Luby, prepare the area. Please prep, Luby, please prep my zone. Oh man.
Oh God.
What's your name?
My name is Chris.
My name is Cole. What episode is this?
I am ashamed to say. What is that? I never know.
It's 181.
It's 181.
Yeah, 181 of the Internet Comedy Podcast. We're here to entertain your ass.
Right, right. No, I got that other part. You don't need to step on my, you know. Do you want to do this alone?
Yeah, bite your steez, you know.
You can get all your AI together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do a podcast.
Then maybe they'd listen to me.
I assure you.
Oh man.
Actually, I have a story that's right in line.
Oh, you do? Yeah, let's
housekeeping?
No real housekeeping.
Okay. Oh God. Refresh. All right. Most people feel uncomfortable obeying the command, please touch my buttocks. And scientists have discovered that you are, as a human, just as uncomfortable when a human says it as when a robot says it.
Oh, that's right in the pocket.
Yeah.
Also uncomfortable, please reach into my pocket.
It turns out that even though a robot's humanness is merely programmed into it, we're very, very good at fooling ourselves to the point where it starts to get a little weird. So what they did is they took this robot and, you know, made it respond to various commands, including touch my hand, touch my butt. Each of the participants' non-dominant hands were hooked to a sensor. And they found out that the less accessible a body part, the more uncomfortable and reluctant the participant.
Yeah. So if you have to raise them up on a hydraulic lift, then all of a sudden the heart rate goes up.
They're either stating or hypothesizing that people are not inherently built to differentiate between technology and humans.
That's like the Uncanny Valley problem, though, right?
I've never been there.
I hear it's beautiful, but only up to a certain point.
Yeah.
No, you know the Uncanny Valley, right?
No. I don't know. You can explain it.
You know it's going to happen anyway. No, mm-hmm. No. You remember the movie The Polar Express?
I know, I remember the book. It was a Caldecott winner.
Was it Caldecott or Newbery? I always get those mixed up.
I don't know. I think they just put those stickers on there.
Yeah, to get their filthy book fair lucre.
Right.
No.
Got to keep that one on permanent checkout.
But that movie, The Polar Express, starred a bunch of CGI Tom Hankses that were too realistic. So the idea is something that is fake but made to look like a human or look like something organic, the less human it looks, the more likely we are to be endeared to it. And it raises up to a certain point until it gets right to being indistinguishable. Mm-hmm. So if it's like 5 to 1%. Distinguishable as being artificial, all of a sudden it looks like a walking corpse.
Oh, so the new Pee-wee on Netflix is the Uncanny Mountain.
Well, no, that would imply that as it gets as it gets closer to being undistinguishable, it gets much more endearing. I haven't watched Pee-wee's Big Holiday, but I intend to.
Oh, well, see, what they did is they took a real person, Paul Reubens,
right,
and they brushed him up. To the point where he was real, but no longer.
Well, they
so it's kind of like the opposite direction. They didn't start with something that was not real.
They caked up, like they use makeup, right? Like they really laid it on. Basically, from what I've seen in stills, it looks like he's wearing a Mike Myers mask from Halloween, except it's made out of pancake makeup.
Yeah, I guess. All I can think of is the Mythbusters when they put those masks on to look like each other.
Oh, shit. That was so creepy. Like when they walked out on stage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The research from this thing that I was talking about, which was the point of this, not the Mythbusters, but the research.
Tangents are welcome. Without tangents, we have nothing.
I like to just stick to the research. was that they want to put command buttons and easy to reach places on robots.
Oh, okay. So, like, stay away from the undercarriage. That's just for diagnostic.
Right. Yeah. You don't, you know, evidently before this research, the power button was in the anus of the robot.
Yep. It was right adjacent to the exhaust.
Right.
Huh. So, okay. Little bit of a switcheroo here. We have a little bit of a news outlet trying to prep this to make it feel a bit more relatable. These are not robots who are saying, please, can you minister to my bottom? These are robots saying, hey, you need to press button number four. No, I'm trying to get it straight. I'm not reading your shit, but I'm just saying, like, it wasn't the case where it was a humanoid robot saying, I need you to touch my butt.
Just a robot.
It's just a robot saying, touch switch number four, and switch number four is right on the taint.
No, they're saying touch my butt.
Oh, they're saying.
Yeah, it's a robot that is in some way, and that it has four limbs, and sets upright. I mean, anatomically, I guess you could say it's, you know, human like, but it in no way resembles a human. There's no flesh or hair,
right,
or anything like that. I mean,
but it is saying please touch my butt. It is identifying its butt.
Touch my hand butt.
Oh God! Some kind of Cronenberg creation? Like, what's going on?
Cross my neck veins.
Yeah, this is Operation Hard Mode.
Oh boy.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's the synergy, the upward cross dynamic of your thoughts as opposed to my research.
Well, no, we're here for synthesis, right? One of us presents facts, the other of us.
You
know, reacts to it, and then we try to make comedy out of it. Yes, and.
Right. Yes, and.
Yes, and.
Otherwise, it would just be reading articles.
Yeah, it'd be newsy. You're bringing me in the news.
Mm.
Yeah.
Luby. Cole's talking.
Good, Luby, you come back here.
if I fall in the shower again, I swear to God.
Luby, stop laying traps.
Come home, the house is all tore up because Housey took up for you.
Oh man! So I've got another one that segues very nicely from this.
Okay, keep it tight.
We got a nice seg here. No, social psychologists from Knox College have been doing some work to figure out what is creepy. It's the first empirical study into creepiness that is published in New Ideas in Psychology.
Okay. All right?
So 1,300 people surveyed.
Peer reviewed.
It was published. Although that's not always the best, you know, it's not an indication of quality universally.
Full text available.
I don't know. It's just New Ideas in Psychology. What is it? On the Nature of Creepiness.
Yeah. That's a quarterly, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. So it's on Science Direct, but it's $32. So in full disclosure, I don't have access to the full thing. Okay. So it just, you can decide to stop listening now if that matters to you. I am so sorry I failed you.
I probably wasn't gonna anyway, but
oh God.
Anyway, go ahead.
I'm just gonna go. I'll buy the study and read it to you.
Why don't you read that off air?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll come back. Let's take two. No. So creepy. So this is not trying to like find the nature of what's creepy. It's just like, what do people find the creepiest? Okay. So here's some results. All right. Clowns. Okay. Taxidermists. Funeral directors. are certain just kind of like people that people find creepy, right? Like they look at a taxidermist and they say, "You are going to you are thinking of how to put me into a frightful pose right now."
Okay.
Yeah.
You're analyzing. You're doing what the study did not do.
Right. No, but I think that why else would the study have put this forward if they, you know, if they weren't asking people to jump wildly to their own conclusions?
Well, I mean, first off, if a clown touches you and poses you, that's not a good idea.
Especially for his menagerie, his grim menagerie.
Right.
Yeah. No, but
those people are a wealth of answers from me. I'd like to get them alone, you know, corner them at a party.
Yeah, because I think they represent the real America. No, right. I like the idea of being just somebody being able to recognize a taxidermist out in the wild. Like, unless you actually see somebody like stretching a bear skin over a styrofoam mold of a bear, I don't. You're just like, oh my god, we're at a Kroger, and I see this guy in a flannel shirt. No,
what's your I ask a taxidermist what his favorite Simpsons musical montage is.
Strangely, monorail.
Right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have thought that.
here's some traits that people find creepy. Repeated lip licking, like the Joker from the old Dark Knight.
That's a serpent thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. The more snake-like somebody can become, violating personal space, just getting right up in, sidling up into the blind spot, you know, making people's making people's neck hair stand up on end, right?
And like just happened.
Yeah. laughing at the wrong times.
But see, I do that a lot because I'm making myself do it.
Well, yeah, because you're not laughing at the wrong time to you.
No.
Like you're on your own track 88% of the time. You're not responding to external stimulus. You're full on catatonic.
See, that's what they need to do. They need to make a plug-in for people. Like, make my mind Bluetooth.
Toothy, please broadcast. But let's hear, steering the conversation towards sex. Which is like a little bit of a power move. That's like grabbing somebody's wrist and just moving it straight to your junk.
Is that creepy?
Again, it's a power move.
No, I think that when they cross over between posing and moving towards sex, like somebody's talking and you touch their face and you're like, no, keep talking. And you'd point their head down at your crotch. just talk right into it.
Yep. That's where my ear is. It's fucked up.
Can you order a burger into the clown's mouth?
Please pull forward. Please pull forward to the clown's mouth.
Please back up. Back up. Oh, back up. Forward.
Also creepy. Bulging eyes, long fingers, greasy hair, pale skin. So the creepiest person in the world, Chris? Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys.
Paul Bear.
What?
The wrestler guy.
Oh, Paul. Yep, there we go. Yeah. Man, I was looking at some pictures of Paul Bearer earlier.
I don't know. So tell me if this is creepy. I was at a conference this week, and they had a reception. And there was a woman there of a certain age. And she was telling another person at the table that she could drink them. You know, she could basically out-drink them. And so I chimed in and I was like, what about roofies? Could you out roofie me?
So without
everybody laughed.
Okay, if everybody laughed, I don't know.
No.
I don't. Okay. I don't.
I will out roofie you.
It's hard to tell if something is creepy if you don't know the temperature of the room, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Was that your first interaction with this woman?
I actually hadn't gotten to the table yet.
You shouted it across the room.
What about roofies?
This will affect my future plans. No. I think
you can. You're still awake, and I've given you three.
Jeez. No. So that is something that I think is creepy, actually.
Yeah.
No.
Roofies?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things I'm not even that comfortable joking about. However, Something I do think is creepy is when there is a conversation that you're that somebody is trying to insinuate themselves into. Like, okay. Like picture a party. You got a group of five people that are, you know, like sitting in a, you know, like just sitting in chairs that are aligned to face each other, or like there's there, you know, they're standing in a corner facing each other, and you got that one motherfucker. You got that one motherfucker who's going to walk up and just kind of like stand outside the circle and nod and laugh. And then, like, maybe chime in, usually with something about themselves. Like, I can't handle that.
How else are you supposed to get in the conversation?
I don't think you force it. I think that if the circle doesn't open up for you, you got to go somewhere else.
Well, I mean, unless you're a funeral director, a clown, or a taxidermist, no one's going to ask you any questions.
I have a lot of questions for funeral directors, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like when I met the guy who runs the pet cemetery.
Wait a minute. What?
I met the guy who runs the pet cemetery.
Which one? Like the? Where all the dead pets go?
Yeah.
Huh.
Then I was like, oh, really? You do, huh? And he said, yeah, go ahead and ask whatever you're going to ask. Just ask it.
You know what I would do if I was that person? It would be a dick move, but it would make life so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Just get a card printed up.
He goes, I've heard them all. Just go ahead and ask. That's what he said. I'm like, do you ever fuck any dead animals? He said, I've never heard that one.
That's the first question I would think to ask.
Yeah. What's the matter with society?
That nobody else is asking you this.
We're studying robots when there's glaring issues over here.
Man, we gotta tend to our own backyard.
Right.
Metaphorically speaking. Unless Luby's going to attend to it for us.
Well, that's why he gets paid.
Yeah. I tip him $1 bills. No, I tip him Sacagawea dollars. It's metal. Do you recognize?
Hot pennies.
So we go heat up some pennies on the snow for you, Luby.
Right.
Oh man. So the common denominator, aside from Paul Bearer, which is the nexus of all those traits, because he is kind of a clown funeral director, right?
Right.
Does Paul Bearer, is he the Undertaker's bag man? I forget. Like he carries the body bag, he carries the urn full of dirt.
So you're just going to glare over the fact that you just did something miraculous and connected body bags with Bagman?
I was watching Veep. Bagmen are top of mind for me right now.
That's deep for you, Cole.
What's deep?
There's just the connections, the layers.
Mm, okay.
You made a taco dip in this segment.
It's only three layers, but I'm trying.
Right.
Yeah. No, but the common denominator for all of these is that creepiness is tied to unpredictability.
Creepiness is next to loneliness.
Yep. Oh, man. Some creeps can't help it, you know?
Yeah.
Creeps can't help it. Like, can you help it if you have long fingers?
No.
Okay, but that's listed as a creepy trait, you know? Like, yeah, you can help greasy hair, like, you just wash it more. But, like, bulging eyes, you're not going to just, like, keep pushing them in.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you just have these physical traits, there's not much you can do about it.
True.
Yeah.
Speaking of physical traits, you don't, and this isn't picking on you, but you're not a big exercise guy, right?
I mean, I ride my exercise bike.
I mean, like in public.
Oh God, no!
Like what's going to get you out with other enthusiasts?
I mean, honestly, like, you know, like there is an embarrassment angle, but just like time, it's easier to exercise alone. Mm-hmm. You know, just you can fit in the 45 minutes to an hour, you know, a couple times a week.
Okay,
which is fine, but you know, it's just like when it's an appointment, I understand that it's easier to stick to it. You know, if somebody else is like waiting for you and will give you shit, but also okay. It's just like, yeah, it's just not. Yeah.
What if they put the exercise class in a bar?
Well, that would that would directly contradict the point. Any kind of alcohol is incredibly fattening.
And they gave you a pamphlet. And the only thing that the pamphlet said was, and it's a question. Looking to get zen as fuck?
Oh, I hate this immediately.
Why?
looking to get zen as fuck.
Yeah.
What about this sounds like anything I would enjoy?
It's a new class. It's called Rage Yoga. It involves drinking beer, screaming profanity, and death metal.
I don't. So
this lady, Lindsay Marie something, she's a contortionist, fire eater, and just an entertainer.
Okay.
Yeah. She decided that she was going to start up Rage Yoga after a really painful breakup.
Okay.
Yeah. She says, I'm a very loud, colorful personality. So she says, 5 to 12 students hop in front of her, $12 a piece, $100 for 10 classes. And you do yoga while you drink beer and scream profanity.
The yoga doesn't fit in. It really doesn't.
Yeah. Well, she didn't like regular. She liked yoga. She didn't like the environment of.
She didn't like the pan flutes.
Yeah. Yeah. She said it's very deadpan, serious, and overly serene, which is uncomfortable. In much the same way that a taxidermist is.
Yeah, a taxidermist doing yoga.
No, not even that. Just it's too not regular.
Yeah.
That's not something you do.
Yeah, it feels like you're suppressing something rather than letting it go.
Right.
Yeah. So here's the thing, and here's why I get a little bit antsy about. That's why I get a little bit antsy about doing this in a social setting, particularly anger yoga or rage yoga or whatever this is.
Mm-hmm.
Is because if you get people in that uninhibited mode, right? What's going to stop them from turning on each other? Because if this motherfucker over here is, spilling your beer and yelling right into your ear, I'm probably going to yell at him. Like this is a room full of limber, drunk people who are ready to fight.
Yeah.
It's every gently nightmare I've ever had.
They're wearing their heartbreak.
Yeah.
Like a robe.
Huh.
So anyway, yeah, the only reason I picked that is because I could hear you. The tagline seemed like something you would say.
Say the tagline one more time for me.
Looking to get zen as fuck.
It does. Yeah.
It sounds like something you would say.
It sounds like something I would say, but not in the literal way that they are.
Well, I could see that.
I would say it in a dismissive way.
Why did you spend $130 on a nature machine, a nature noise machine?
I'm looking
to get zen as fuck.
So you mentioned this, and I thought that I had something to do with what feels like an idea that I had before it was before it became a thing, or maybe I just heard an offhanded mention of it. But are you familiar with anger rooms, or as I call them, rageatoriums?
No.
Okay. I think these started in Germany, but the idea is you go to a place in a strip mall. And you pay them a certain amount of money for rental to a room and also just different kind of props, right? Mm-hmm. The one that I'm looking at, it's angerroom.com. I don't know where their locations are. They're not actually listing them. But their tagline is nothing you expect, everything you deserve. And you can they have three packages. I need a break, which is 5 minutes. Lash out, which is 15 minutes, and demolition, which is 25 minutes. So you put on your goggles and you put on the full suit and they just start breaking shit.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's just one of those days.
I mean, it's as good as a kiosk in the mall that sells scream pillows.
Hyperabsorbent. Oh gosh. Dad's not going to hear this. Scream pillows. No, but I would like to, I don't know. I feel like I would hurt myself because I would go full bore into it. I think that I have a lot of, I have a lot of anger to take out on a vase.
I mean, I don't know if this is a regional thing, but every volunteer fire department around here in Ohio, they go to the fair, the street fair and things like that. And they bring a junk car and they let you pay a couple bucks to hit it with a sledgehammer.
Oh, you go full Blanca?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
You're not using a 9-iron or anything. They give you, it's a sledgehammer.
Right. No, that sounds delightful.
to raise money, you know, for boots and such.
Yeah, no, it's a good cause.
Right.
Man, I would pay $5 to take just like one swing at a car hood with a sledgehammer.
It's not as gratifying as you'd think.
I mean, okay. Do they have a package deal? Can I pay 20 for five?
I don't know.
I imagine the glass goes real quick. Or maybe the glass, they probably break that out ahead of time. Because that feels dangerous.
Yeah.
No, just man, just like a nice, solid, swift blow to the A column. Tell me, that doesn't sound amazing.
It's not.
Wow. So you've done this.
I have, yeah. It's because part of it is seeing the result. So, you know, you got a car that's been beat on for like 3 days by people, and then you get there and give a dollar. And by that point, all the metal is so caved in that when you hit it with the sledgehammer just bounces off.
Mm. You know? So that's incentive to show up on the first day.
It's kind of like wrecking the nicer thing is more gratifying than wrecking the less nice.
Right. You got to pound Jared Leto's face in a hamburger.
Right.
Yeah. No. But yeah, anger rooms, and they take donations. All your old stuff, your sofas, cubicles, sheetrock.
It's a business that takes donations.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, man, just taking a claw hammer and flinging it right into the sheetrock.
Man. Well.
What?
I said yeah.
No, you said well.
Because you could do that at home.
I know, but like there are consequences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Housey, I'm so sorry.
Housey, please don't devour me with your doors and windows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Seems like a good idea. Seems like something that I would like. Speaking of the Fight Club thing.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. What?
Nothing. Speaking of.
Just a segue. We do segues here. Come on.
Right, yeah. All right.
A casino in Germany was put on full-on bomb alert because one of the attendants heard a bizarre noise from inside of a bathroom stall. Heard some clicking and buzzing, and it's not really much of a story. It turned out to be like a vibrating, like combination cock ring and simulation vaginal sleeve.
Okay.
So, well, wait a minute. So the so the picture here is not the actual implement that was used.
No, it could
No, it's a Pinterest link to the device that I described. But no, it's uh-huh. like this guy was walking around with a PP, this PP had a vibrating element, and once he was done with it, I think he dropped it in his moment of euphoria. And it stayed on. He got out of Dodge because nobody wants to be caught with that shame. And they shut down the casino because it was a dildo, not his dildo.
So it was still attached to him?
No.
I'm just thinking it's like a surfer that walks off the beach with the board still attached. Sorry.
Still attached to do surfers actually use the band on their ankle, or is that more of a that was like a boogie board thing, right?
No, I think surfers do.
No,
I think some surfers do.
Seems like a really bad idea.
Oh, it's not good. No,
yeah, because if you're riding those sick tubes, you know, down at Mavericks,
sick tubes.
Yeah, if you're getting a nasty slice off of that sick tube.
Okay.
You know, and you beef it. If you beef it in the tube, you know, like the board's going to go one way and the body's going to go the other. I think they have vastly different aquadynamic profiles. what I'm saying
all
is
I can think of is the steakhouse in the subway.
I guess what I'm saying is Bodhi's going to go full saw.
Mom, what are you doing for dinner tonight? I'm beefing it in the tube.
Beefing the tube.
Beefing the tube.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's the thing. Anytime you want to put your anything in a sleeve, make sure it's your arm.
Oh man.
Because that's what you put in sleeves.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing else you should put in a sleeve. Your arm.
Yeah. Well, you can put a hot pocket in a sleeve. I think they recommend that. Unless you cook it in the oven like some kind of deranged psycho.
Well, then I'm making a meal. You put it in the microwave, that's a snack.
You put it in the microwave, you don't have enough time to second guess yourself.
Right. You just jam it in the sleeve and nuke it.
Yep. They didn't stand a chance.
Hey, Cole, segue.
Okay.
A 15-year-old West Virginia boy was killed when he was struck in the head while playing a game called Dodging Arrows. Two boys were playing the bow and arrow tag game with real bows and arrows. No parents were around.
Of course.
25.
It's either no parents or it's the dad goading them on.
Police veteran says this is the first time I've heard of it.
Dodging arrows?
And you can see this guy. He says, they were just goofing around. Thought it was a good idea. It's just a bad decision if you ask me.
Wait a minute. So when you summarize the injuries, I kind of blanked out because
he shot in the head with an arrow.
Okay, you said the thing, and I just kind of like I heard bow and arrow, and I was like, ooh, archaic weapons. Are they dead?
The kid's dead. Why are you laughing?
Okay, sorry.
You're still laughing.
Okay, so it was just a dumb mistake. Anybody could have done it. That's not a game. That's the Battle of Agin fucking Core, man. Like,
Cole, obesity. It's really serious. And this kid ate a big retard sandwich.
Oof.
Yeah, big time.
Well, if that's a hard R.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
He
so
dodging arrows, Cole. Which oddly enough, this is a game you can rent for parties. Only they're like Nerf.
Right. I was gonna say obvious thing is just Nerf and just like it's like paintball but with bows and arrows with a distinct medieval Dungeons and Dragons feel.
It's that and that's a real thing.
But that's not a
bow and arrow.
That's not a game. That's just shooting arrows at each other. Like that was what we back in the day called playing Nerf.
That's not a war. You're just shooting guns at each other.
Come on. Come back when you're serious, Germany.
Good God. Ugh. You want a super gun? Look me in the eye.
That's not a super soaker fight. That's just an outdoor shower.
Yeah. So they're going to present the whole case to the prosecutor for negligent homicide.
Huh. For the one kid who survived.
They were both participating in the same game.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, that's just a second place prize is an arraignment.
Well, you could say he won.
Hell yeah. He just has to live with them, live forever knowing that he killed his best friend.
An all-inclusive vacation.
Maybe it was his enemy. Yeah, if we're just calling shit other shit. Like, if we're just calling shit other shit. Yeah, it is a maximum security hotel.
I won.
Yeah. I won. I get to go to a fitness club.
We no longer put people in jail for murder. I didn't murder anybody. I won.
Well, I mean, it is a struggle. By which I mean life.
Right. You should see the other guy.
His viewing hours are tomorrow.
He's got a fucking arrow in his head.
It's like Steve Martin.
Did I have to? No.
Did I want to? Well,
not really. I'm bored.
Oh, God. Shot in the head with a bow and arrow.
I won playing dodging arrows.
Yeah, I you know what I would like to do? So you remember a couple years ago when we went to the gun range? It'd be fun to go back and do that. But I'd also like to go shoot some bows and arrows. I think that'd be fun.
It's hard.
Yeah. I imagine it'd be difficult. Like you couldn't do it for a long time.
It's actually like, really inexpensive to do too.
Really, just
a bow.
A bow and a friend.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you can get a cheap bow.
Yeah.
It's not it's not like a handgun.
Yeah. Cheap. There's no waiting period.
Why not?
You have to go down to the magistrate.
First off, there is no waiting period for any of it anymore here in Ohio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in 5 days, I won't be angry.
Oh, Homer Simpson. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Yeah, no idea. I don't keep up on
that. Was it him that was opening beers with his gun?
Yep.
All right.
No, he was changing channels by shooting at the TV.
Oh, that's right.
And when he found the channel he wanted, it was a Western where a guy got shot and fell off the ceiling. Or fell off the roof. He didn't fall off the ceiling. He's not the fucking kid from The Exorcist.
My bad.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Remember when we got you the pet the tackle box? Let me see here.
Oh, you're not ready?
No, I'm not. I've been trying to. I've actually blown. It's been a light.
I've actually blown. What?
Blown. Well, while we're on the topic of death, and while we're on the topic of whodunits, I want to give you the opposite of a locked room murder. Okay, like a locked room murder. Picture like an Agatha Christie novel, or the movie Clue, or the board game Clue, where
I'm sorry, can you Clue?
Click Clue or Cluedo if you're over in the Isles. No, but a locked room murder, you have, you know, five or six people who are in a place. Nobody could have gotten in or out. The lights go out. Somebody dies. And it has to be someone in this room or someone in this mansion at this masquerade ball. Okay. And we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Right. That's a mystery theater thing.
Yeah. Like we're going to get to the bottom of it. That is a
murder mystery.
It is a nice, like, tight construction for a story, because you're there and, you know, just like oftentimes there's a fake wall. And most importantly, there are very few people who could be involved. It's not usually an ex-lover with a grudge who also happens to have a sniper rifle and a clear view.
Yeah. It's a single set episode.
Yeah. It's a bottle episode. The opposite of that would be this story,
which they did on the Golden Girls. So I don't know how that budget
all worked. The time. I've never seen an episode of the Golden Girls that took place outside of the apartment.
No, they went to a murder mystery.
Oh, that would have been the opposite of a bottle episode for them. They would have to they would have to get other people. They would have to go to a different set, which is probably like one airplane hangar over. But no, thinking back, I cannot recall a single instant of the Golden Girls that wasn't just the titular Golden Girls in their apartment talking about old lady sex.
They took so Sophia went to Sicily.
Oh. Yeah.
I saw Louis last night where he went to China.
Oh. Did you see anything else cool?
No.
Okay. No, so the story here, the opposite of the locked room murder is it took place in Paris, France. And a couple of teenagers, a group of people in their late teens, early 20s, are renting this place in Paris for very expensive, $435 per night in the Palaiseau neighborhood. And they're out there and they find a body. Mm-hmm. On a slope behind the house, covered mm-hmm. in branches as though the body was trying to be concealed. Body of a 40-year-old woman, been there for about a month, cause of death, unable to be ascertained. And because people can come and go whenever they want, nobody has any idea what could have happened.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is the aftermath. I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of Airbnb because I don't want to inhale somebody else's dander, most of all. But I'm never certain if I'm going to go there, if I'm going to have to interact with the host. Like when, you know, I've looked at Airbnbs for like the live shows that we've done. Like, okay, let's hook something up. Like, but you can I've never found the box that says you're renting a room in a house with a dude who's going to want you to listen to his guitar covers.
Okay.
Or if it's going to be like, hey, you're gonna enter a code in a lockbox, you're gonna get the key, and you're gonna go in. All right,
I'm with you.
And you know, worst of all, what if somebody has set up some kind of like Jigsaw Until Dawn kind of situation where, you know, there are cameras and stuff, and they're going to watch you and then kill you.
Lockbox.
And then and then throw you down a slope and cover some cover your body with branches.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Stand By Me.
Yeah. So, it is the opposite of a locked room murder. Would you do an Airbnb?
I think Gary and I had this conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so should I just check with him?
Pretty much everywhere I go, I hope I get. So, yes.
Jesus. Can you quantify that?
Like, you know that little thing that you flip over to lock the door in a hotel room.
Yeah, the not the bolt, but like the chain. So
the little chain thing. Yeah. I flip that and then just close the door on it. Leave it cracked a little.
Yeah, that's something our family does, and I never understood it.
But I do it at night.
Why?
Because I dare you.
Make my day. That is.
No, really, that would make my day.
That's Chris. That's unsettling.
Why? It says do not disturb, but yet it's open.
Conflicting messages. That's how Sybil got the way she was.
While you're trying to figure it out, you're dead.
You've walked into my web.
I'm behind you.
It drops down from the ceiling. The hunter has become the hunted.
Right? Okay, now you do me now.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
All right. Hey, Chris, do you want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Oh, gosh. So ratings, reviews, and stuff like that. We got some nice reviews on iTunes recently, and that is always very nice to see. Appreciate that, especially in this time. This episode, to put a date on it, is coming out the day that Dark Souls 3 comes out, and that's a big time for the network. So if you're coming to this show from other shows, welcome. We're happy to have you here. And tell friends and do all of that cool stuff. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. And you can find our old episodes. We've been doing this for a long time. And if you're looking for stuff that's happening on the network, you can go to duckfeed.tv/news. I put out a weekly kind of just a text post with summaries of episodes and all the cool stuff that you can participate in, stuff that's happening on the Patreon, all of that. Chris, did I forget anything?
You got it all.
Awesome. Sorry, America.
Sorry.